Good morning, everybody. You know that phrase about casting down every high thing? You know, the first thing that comes to mind when I sing that, here it is, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is our own carnal nature. There is enough outside that's out there. But really the battle that we have input with is mostly just right here. And I'm pointing at my head and my heart. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. The battle we fight is not a physical one, it's a spiritual one. And it starts right in our own selves, right in that struggle that exists between our spirit and that carnal nature. And we know in God's word that the right choice, the right decision, the right direction is going to be to choose God's way. And that is one of humility and service and love. So you talk about things that please God, we know what pleases God. Love God, love one another. We know that. We know the things that displease God is love yourself and pride. Now from all sin and everything unpleasing to God comes from pride. It's where it's the wellhead, in a sense. We know that all things that are pleasing to God comes from love. That agape love, real love. And God gives us his spirit, gives us his self, his blood, that we can walk in love. We can live there. We can dwell there. Interesting, the choice of scriptures this morning, both from Brother Phil and Sue as well. Because what's been on my heart, there's a lot of things, but it's been ramping up. If you haven't watched TV or listened to the radio, it's ramping up, you know, all the things that the world is going to tell you you need. I have someone I know that was very excited to have a local charity give them some money so they could go. Actually, they were going to take their daughter to the store and let her buy $100 and some odd worth of gifts and presents. And how so excited because, you know, Christmas is really important. And I was like, oof. You know, all that stuff, it just, it's like chaff in the wind, man. It's not worth anything. Mm-hmm. Now, when you don't have anything and you hear someone that has something say that, you just want to throw stuff at them. I know I did when I was in that place. And I know as I've taught, I remember Brother Phil, this was way back, sitting on my couch in South Carolina. He had nothing and I seemed to have somewhat. And he was telling me if he just could make, you know, $250,000, he just had $250,000 and that would be it. He would be set. You know, all his problems would go away. And I'm like, Phil, man, the more you make, the more you spend, the more you have, the more it holds you down. I'm telling you, you don't understand the liberty you have now. If you were to embrace it in the Lord, it's far better than to be weighted down with a bunch of stuff. Amen. That's what the world really wants to do. It wants to weight you down with stuff. You look at the parable that Jesus gave of the seed and the sower, and you have that section of weed, right? They becometh unfruitful. What? The cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches. And that deceitfulness of riches works in a lot of different ways. Makes you think if you had something, had riches, you could do something. And if you don't have anything, it makes you think that you need it to be successful in the Lord. And then if you have it, it's very easy to trust and rely on that and not the Lord. It'll get you either way. That deceitfulness of riches will just get you either way. And this world just pipes into you hard, fast, and continuous wants of things that don't matter. Don't matter. The only thing that matters is where you go after here. Amen. You know, the new iPod isn't going to get you to heaven, or the new motorcycle, or the new car, or, you know, that new pen. It could be as little as I got to have that pencil. Or, I mean, it just, if that's where your eyes are at, if your heart and your desire is on the things of acquisition, of stuff of this world, that new relationship, if I was just married, whatever it is, if that's where your focus and your eyes are at, you're just in the wrong place. Just in the wrong place. As you get older, that starts to really ring true. And as you get closer and closer to the end, and I pray I'm nowhere near it, not necessarily because I don't want to be with the Lord, it's just I want to be as ready as I possibly can, and I know my heart, I'm not there yet. But as you get older and time seems to shorten, you know, the days get shorter, the weeks get shorter, the months become a blip, and the years are gone before you know it. You know, as you're younger, I remember being in school and thinking, you know, we had 9 weeks, these 9 week semesters. So you had 9 weeks, 9 weeks, 9 weeks. And I thought 9 weeks was an eternity. Just my, it was like forever. And gosh, we're in the end of November already, and it was just January. You know, it was just SHOT Show, and everybody was here, and we were going up there to do stuff. I mean, it was, you know, that was January. It was just conference, which was a month ago, a little over. You know, it's going to be just January again, and then it's going to be just, I mean, time becomes greatly accelerated the older you get. And I hope, I know in myself, I've begun to get just a different perspective of what's important. If it would be possible to distill that down and pour it into my little girl so that she had an urgency of what's important right now at 9, I could only imagine, you know, what she could accomplish through the Lord and in the Lord. Lots of wasted time, I guess, as I look back. And it's truly wasted if you don't learn from it. It's really, really wasted then. But so much time seeking after and seeking to gain things that just don't matter. Just do not matter. What does matter is Jesus, the gospel, the truth. I think what's really hard for me is knowing just how true that is, at least in the capacity that I have to know. Trying to express that to people I see struggling. People I have a care for them. I have a philios for them. You know, I don't want to see them fail or struggle or go through problems. I know that the root out, the solution, their salvation is simply in Jesus. And it's just right now they're serving themselves. And if they chose to serve Jesus, then all those things that there's no way that they're going to overcome. They're just not going to happen. That's the lie of the enemy. It keeps thinking, if I only had this, if I only had that, if just this opened up, if I only had that next thing, I would be okay. No, that is such a lie, because there's the next thing beyond the next thing that just, it is a pit that you cannot recover from. It's designed that way. We used to have these bugs in Florida, and I used to think they were cool. So you look down at the ground, and there was these little swirl. They look like a little concave, like a funnel. and ants would fall in them and they couldn't crawl up. Because these little bugs would make these funnels in the soft sand, and as the ant would crawl, little grains of sand would fall down, and then the bug knew it had something in its trap. And that ant was just crawling and crawling and would never make it to the top. And if it started to get there, the little bug at the bottom, the little insect at the bottom would like kick and throw. I never could see it because they're teeny tiny little things, but it would throw sand up the wall and cause the ant to fall down. But the thing is that no matter how hard that ant struggled to try and get out, it was doomed unless somebody helped him. And you're sitting there watching that go on, and you could help the ant and you could kill the bug, or you can knock the ant down and help the bug. I mean, but no matter how hard that ant tried, it was not going to get out. And that's what it is to be serving the enemy. Oh, he'll give you that little bit of hope, but it's so misplaced because, see, the hope and faith is in you. I mean, you put it in yourself, and you put it in the world, or you put it in the world system, or you put it in a government, or you put it in a job, or he allows you and puts you into this place where your hope is in that's not Jesus. He doesn't care what you hope in, just so long it's not Jesus. You can hope in religion. You can hope in your church. You can hope in a lot of things that's going to solve your problem. But see, if your hope is in anything but Jesus, you're in that trap. There is no way out. There is no escape except Jesus. And I watch them struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. And I just say, look, Jesus is the way. Stop what you're doing and turn your eyes to Jesus, because that is the only solution. And because we go back to that high thing, this is why it's so important to cast down that high thing. You see, your intellect is going to tell you that won't work. Your intellect is going to tell you that belief and trust in God is stupid. It's naive. It doesn't work that way. I mean, these are all the thoughts that are going to flood in to your mind to try and keep you turned away from Jesus. They're all wrong. Amen. They're all a lie. And they're designed to keep you in that trap. They're designed to keep you from getting out. Because the one thing, the one person that can free you, His name is Jesus. And it doesn't matter what situation you're in. And you may think physical situations, and look, a lot of us have physical situations, carnal situations, worldly things that we're having to deal with that are uncomfortable. You may yet still have to deal with those, but you don't have to do it alone. And it's not about what winds up happening in this world that really matters anyway. Because it really matters when you stand before Jesus, when you die. And the older I get, and again, I'm still pretty young, it's not like I'm ancient, you know. Some would disagree. But I realize there is an end. There's an expiration. There is a time where I will stand before the Lord. And I hope to hear the words, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Amen. And the only way you're going to hear that is that if you seek His kingdom first. Amen. That's it. And when that starts with, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. Please forgive me. Please be my Lord and Savior. See, that starts it. That starts that journey. You repent. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you turn your eyes off the world, yourself, and all that stuff, and you put it on Jesus. That's where it starts. It doesn't take a big bank account. Doesn't take giving up a big house, or doesn't take really anything but you saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't do this. I can't do this. I need your help. I'm lost. It just takes you humbling yourself and acknowledging his gift and receiving his gift, that his death on the cross, the blood he shed on the cross, was sufficient and enough. But that's it. I mean, that's the short and long of it. And if you say that and you mean it in your heart, you confess it, you start walking in it. And the Lord's provided every means at your disposal for you to have a successful and meaningful life in him. Now, what that looks to others, or how that looks to others, or how that looks to your own intellect, that's the stuff you have to cast down, because it wants to pull you back. So just because you say, Lord Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, that's not the end of the journey. That's the very beginning. It's like the baby being born. That's being born again. That is what that is. That is the blood of Jesus Christ being baptized in the blood of Christ. It's a baptism. That's the baptism of repentance. The baptism of water is when you come to that place, and it's not taught properly in the churches today, but the baptism of water isn't repentance. It's really baptism of this old man and this old body, and it's about being resurrected by faith in the new body, the new man. That old man stays down. You have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism into the power of God. These are things that are for every single believer, every single person that claims to be a believer in Jesus Christ. These are parts of the mechanics that God has put in place for you to truly be free of all that stuff and walk with him. But it starts with that first step of humility and repentance. Now, this world, especially, well, I don't think it matters where you are. I was going to say especially here, but I think here and everywhere there is the gospel of want. The gospel of you have to have it. Happiness is directly connected to the stuff you have. What a miserable way to live. I've tried it unsuccessfully. It doesn't work. And then you find yourself with a bunch of stuff that you still don't own because you're still paying for it. And it doesn't make you happy. It's a big, huge weight. But there's liberty in Jesus. There's freedom in Jesus. I'm going to read a little bit in Matthew 6. I have a little bit of time left here. Matthew 6, starting in verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Isn't that the truth? But, it means rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, that gospel of want, that gospel of telling you that happiness is based on the stuff you have, its sole purpose, its sole evil intent is to keep you from walking with God. So, if its sole purpose, if its key intent is to keep you from walking with God, realize there is no greater enemy to you than those that would try and divert you from walking with God. Their goal and their desire and their purpose is to see you live an eternity in hell. Digest that for a moment, because that goes beyond just normal things. That really stretches into relationships, all kinds of things. Those things that want to divert you from your walk with the Lord, their goal, their intention, whether they realize it or not, they're being led by the spirit of the enemy, and his desire is that he hates, or his truth is that he hates you with a cruel hatred, and his desire is to drag you to hell, to spend eternity in torment, because if he has to go, might as well bring you with him. That is his intent. And that's the intent of this world. All those things that would exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ, all of those things, that is the spirit by which they are led. That's why we're told, put that off. Get rid of it. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If your focus and desire is to serve God and there is nothing else, what can stop you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Think of the contrast for a minute, because this isn't some philosopher speaking. This is Jesus, the Son of God, speaking here. Talking to the people. And he says to them, are you not much more important than the birds, and yet your heavenly Father made provision for them? So I ask you, how many of you right now think that there's no provision for you? See, that's a lie. He has made provision for you. You have to step away from the world and what it is offering and put your eyes and your heart and your focus on Jesus. And then you will receive that provision that he has made for you. But you can't do both. You see, the previous verses were talking, you can't serve two masters. You can't keep your eyes and your hope and your faith on the things of this world and receive the provision of God. Can't do it. Because see, the provision of God takes faith. And everything that the world provides you seeks to destroy your faith. So you have that one thing that is working against you to destroy you, to drag you to hell along with it. And then on this other side, you have the provision and grace and mercy and love of God. But you have to let go of the one before you can cling to the other. I'm just so many parallels in my mind going on right now. You know, when you get married, you leave all your old boyfriends or girlfriends or whichever. You leave all that and you cleave to the one. If you're a woman, you cleave to your husband. If you're a man, you cleave to your wife. And you forsake all others. That's how that works. That's a demonstration of this principle here. That's why God gave us marriage. One of the reasons he gave us marriage, so that we could understand that principle better. You can't continue to grab hold of and hold on to and trust in and rely on the things of the world and think you're going to receive and walk in the provision of God. The two are not going to go together. They don't work together. Quickly here. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This to me is a second witness of, well, that the Lord knows what we have need of before we even ask or think. He knows. He knows. He so knows. But you have to put your faith in him. Which is, like Sue said, humble yourself. Take your hands off the control knobs and having to have everything just so and be the one that makes things happen and take your hands off. Just let go. Stop. Let go. And submit and surrender to Jesus. And then let him handle it. And he's probably not going to handle it the way you think is best. Guarantee you. But his way will be the perfect way because you can't see far ahead like he can. See, he knows. He knows you don't know. You don't know. Part of that high thing is realizing, is the part of you that thinks you know better than God. You don't know better than God. You don't know. He knows. And if he loved you enough to give his only son, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he give you all things? You see, we serve, I hope you serve, I serve a great God. A loving, caring, compassionate God. And his grace is sufficient. And his provision is sufficient. And his will is perfect. I hope and pray that those that are struggling, that they recognize the struggle they're in as one that cannot be won. If they're struggling in the world, I should say. If they're struggling in the world and they just can't seem to make it, I pray you come to the realization that you're never going to. You're not going to. Not in yourself. Not in trusting the world. Not in trusting in government. Not in trusting your job. Not in trusting in your church. None of that stuff is going to work. None of it will. But faith in Jesus is the answer. And that trumps every single problem out there. Amen. Guys, we're done. Thank you guys for joining us today.